This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
Instagram has done a lot to bring the life and experience of rather fascinating and beautiful people to the attention of us all. And in the middle of scrolling one perfect picture to another, it's easy to believe that other people lead the perfect life, unlike the reality of our own. And Kiara Rumble looks pretty good on Instagram, an entrepreneur and health influencer, and now as a mother. In the lovely bubble of Instagram, it's easy enough to assume that Kiara's pregnancy and subsequent birth was picture perfect. But in actual fact, that couldn't have been further from the truth.
Because if I hadn't spoken out when I had the ectopic pregnancy, it could have been a different ending. If I had taken, miscarriages are normal, I may have spent years trying to figure out what was going on. Don't be afraid to ask for help, and don't be afraid to get a second opinion or a third or a fourth if you're not getting the right answers. I never thought I would have to go through IVF to conceive my child. I never in a million years thought that. And I think I was in denial for a long time, thinking, okay, I might need some help. And then something just woke up in me, and IVF is not something to be fearful of.
I spoke to Kiara Rumble not long after the birth of her baby boy, Hunter, an interview that was initially postponed as she was suffering from mastitis. Now, Kiara's story is one of persistence. She's become a mother, probably thanks to her stubbornness and not just accepting what she was told. But let's start with the good stuff. Kiara, tell us how the first few months of motherhood have been for you.
Everyone always tells you, it goes by so quickly, but it really does. It's been such a beautiful blur of delicious baby, but I've been thrown straight back into work, so it's sort of been a lot to deal with, but it's been great.
I want to take you back to when you decided that now is the time to have a baby. How long ago was that, and what was going through your head at the time?
So it would have been 4 years ago we sort of embarked on our fertility journey. It was just sort of the right time. I mean, there's never a right time, I guess. It was just sort of something clicked in me, and all I could think about was just baby, baby, baby. And yeah, it took us quite a while. It took us 2.5 years to sort of finally not fall pregnant, because I had 6 losses in that sort of time period, but it took us 2.5-3 years until we finally fell pregnant with Hunter, who's my son.
Did you expect, like the rest of your friends, that you were just going to get pregnant when you wanted to?
Yeah, I mean, my mum had 2 children on the IUD. So she, very, very fertile. There's a 16 years gap between myself and my youngest brother. So I always thought, I'm going to fall pregnant really, really quickly and really easily. We weren't actively, trying for the first few months. It was just more just get off the pill and see how things go. And then, when we had our first loss, it was sort of a bit of a shock, but I didn't really understand what was going on until probably the 3rd pregnancy loss. I mean, the first 2 were quite early, and the doctors made it sound like it really wasn't a big deal, and it was sort of something that I internally dealt with, but I never really voiced what was going on to friends and family. So in January 2019, I had a heterotopic pregnancy, which was a dual pregnancy. So it was an ectopic pregnancy and also a pregnancy in my uterus. So I miscarried the one in my uterus, and then I still had this ongoing pain, and the doctors in the hospital were like, there's nothing wrong, you need to go see a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And that really instilled this imprint in me that there was something wrong with me. This is why I'm having all of these miscarriages and these losses. And then it wasn't until 4 weeks later that I finally was like, I need to get a scan, because There's something not right. This isn't just a normal miscarriage. And then, they rushed me up for emergency surgery and I lost my tube. So that was the ectopic pregnancy. And I think that was when I sort of had to take a step back and realize, this isn't normal. My body is obviously not dealing with this. And it really took a good 2 years from there to finally get some sort of diagnosis, and I had, you know, I went to 3-4 different fertility specialists and they were all saying the same thing. We're not sure what's going on. Miscarriages are common. And once we got to our 6th miscarriage or a 5th miscarriage and obviously the ectopic, I just sort of, I knew that there was actually something physically wrong with, you know, I wouldn't take this answer, this cop out. I mean, you don't have 6 miscarriages just for bad luck. There was something seriously wrong, and it was finally then diagnosed that one of the possible reasons could be I've got a blood clotting condition. So there was something that really was triggered back in that heterotopic pregnancy that I needed to trust my gut. I mean, if I hadn't trusted my gut and demanded to, you know, get scanned and go up to the hospital so many times, I could have bled to death. Obviously, that's extreme, but, you know, that's what happens with ectopic pregnancies. And, you know, I just have really tried to follow that trust your gut instinct the whole way through, you know, the past few years.
That sounds like a terrible ordeal. A lot of women in the same situation would either go, you know what, it's baby's not for me, or they sort of dig their heels in and try and find a reason. You know, what was it that gave you the courage to go with that and push through?
I'm an incredibly stubborn person by nature. So, and I just, all I could think about was falling pregnant. I mean, it's like when you, it's that yellow bug beetle, what is it, the car saying, you know, as soon as you want that car, you see it everywhere. And with me, I just saw babies everywhere. I saw pregnant women everywhere. All of my friends and family were all falling pregnant. And I was incredibly emotionally triggered by seeing so many of these women falling pregnant naturally and easily. And I think it just made me really determined to figure out why I couldn't get that. And I started speaking about it online a little bit, because I knew that there were so many people that in my close network of friends that had stillborns and had lost their children and had miscarriages and ectopic pregnancies, that I knew that if this was in my close network of friends, then I knew that it would be such a broader experience. And I knew that while some medical professionals are absolutely incredible, I mean, I fell pregnant through IVF, and what they did there was just an absolute miracle. But I knew that some degree of the medical world really didn't know how to cope, and they weren't set up to cope with women and people going through miscarriages. So I think it almost pissed me off that I had been treated this way. And so I knew that I was determined to prove everyone wrong.
A lot of people get really shocked at how they're treated after a miscarriage, being dismissed.
I was told to just go take a Panadol and to sleep it off. And I now know that you actually have rights to go in and ask, you know, do I go for a DNC? Do I take this? What do I do? And you need to know this, because I've had friends that have just been told to go home and take Panadol too, and that have ended up in emergency with severe cramping and pains. And it's just, it's such a traumatic experience for someone to go through. You need to be supported by the medical system. And we are seeing a shift with the way that people treat pregnancy loss, but it's still leaps and bounds away from where it should be.
Yeah. So did you have to find a practitioner that was going to work with you? That's not always easy.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke to 4 different fertility specialists over the course of 2 years, and I think it was at the point where, you know, we were doing everything via Zoom to some of these doctors over COVID. And I'd say, I need to be tested for more things. And they're like, oh, you've been really tested for everything. And I just sort of had to snap back and say, well, clearly not, because you don't have 6 pregnancy losses for no reason. Well, in my head, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. And I finally had one doctor that was like, I'm just going to test you for a few other things that aren't really to do with, you know, first trimester loss, but more second trimester. And then that's when I finally got the diagnosis. But I still wasn't happy with that fertility specialist. And so I then went to another fertility specialist who I had that instant connection with. So I think it's finding that right level of empathy And then also to give you that comfort to know that they were going to hold your hand throughout the whole process.
Can I ask you what it was that turned out to be the problem?
Yeah, so I've got a genetic blood clotting condition called factor V Leiden. So basically my sister and my brothers all have it, and my dad, I'm pretty sure, is the one that gave it to us. And basically it just means that in fertility world, you're at high risk for stillbirths. And there's a lot of literature coming out of the US that shows that it's actually impacting people's ability to get the implantation and to keep a first trimester pregnancy. So when I got that diagnosis, I remember I was sitting on the stairs in my stairwell, and I broke down in tears because I was A, so happy that I finally possibly had an answer, but also I was so annoyed that it had taken me 6 pregnancy losses to finally have an answer. Why wasn't I screened with this? Why aren't all of these tests done, you know, when you're, you know, a certain age? I mean, I shouldn't have been on the pill theoretically, because that's quite dangerous for someone with a blood clotting condition. But I was just put on the pill quite young. So there was all these questions and all of this mixed emotion. So the solution for me was to go on blood thinners. And so I was on blood thinners the whole pregnancy with Hunter.
And how was that? Because, you know, anyone that has experienced a loss, pregnancy is not quite the same, is it, as these carefree people that get pregnant and carry it all the way through?
Yeah, I mean, I still get quite upset when I see some people announce pregnancy. And I know it's hard for people to comprehend, because I've obviously got my bubba now, but it just, there's something that's deeply rooted inside of you if you've experienced pregnancy loss that's very much, I can't even articulate it, but it's why them, why not me? And it's really hard. And, you know, there are some people that are really, really empathetic with their pregnancy announcements, and I think that that helps a lot. But it's really challenging to see, you know, people going through happiness when you're deep in the thick of it. And then, so when we finally did fall pregnant through IVF, I was ecstatic, and we ended up announcing earlier than that 12-week mark, because I knew that it would help a lot of people to come along on that journey with us. And I think it's so important if you've got a platform to speak about these real things rather than showing this highlight reel. So yeah, we announced early, and my pregnancy was really bloody brutal. I was expecting a really easy pregnancy because I had gone through that horrible storm to get to my pregnancy. But I had hyperemesis, which is the constant vomiting and nausea the whole way through the pregnancy. So I'd be vomiting anywhere from 2 to 20 times a day, which was pretty rough. And, you know, I had pelvic girdle pain, and I had really bad heartburn. Yeah, and I had bleeding noses, just everything that you could think of with a pregnancy I got, which was lovely.
Yeah.
It made me really appreciate the miracle that I was growing. And he obviously needed that to grow and thrive. And it seemed like it was forever ago, my pregnancy. But when I was in the thick of it, it was really hard to sort of stay positive. But I've got 2 businesses, and I launched a 3rd business a week after Hunter was born. So I sort of didn't really have the option to sit in bed all the time. So I had to sort of really push through it, which was a lot easier said than done.
I'm wondering why you put quite so much pressure on yourself.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting to be so, so sick during the pregnancy when I decided to launch a business. So we secured a retailer that I pretty much had a deadline to, but I'm lucky I've got a really fortunate team to help me when I was sick in bed. So, yeah.
How did your partner cope through all of this?
Yeah, he deals with loss in a completely different way to me, and I think from his point of view he was more concerned about me. He was very, you know, really wanting to become a dad, but I don't think it impacted him nearly as much as it impacted me. He dealt with it in his own way, but I think his biggest priority was to make sure that I was coping. And obviously when I was in more of a physical pain, he was much better at being able to help me it takes a lot on someone's emotional well-being when they're going through all of this. So I had a psychologist I would see pretty much weekly who really helped me during everything,
And then just to top everything off, I understand that labour wasn't exactly flower crowns and selfies either.
I know, the little bugger decided to come. Yeah, so look, I had everything scheduled in because I was obviously on blood thinners. I needed to be induced because I was at high risk for placental abruption. So we had an induction date booked. I had my high risk OB. I had everything sorted. My mum, who I was thinking, I'd have a similar pregnancy and a similar birth to her, was 2 weeks late with all of us. So I was sort of in my head thinking there's no way he'd be a premature baby. And he came 4 weeks early, which was a shock. My waters broke at 4 a.m. and I literally put something up to my friends the night before of this dumping pile that I'd put all of my stuff in for our hospital bag. And I'm like, oh, I should really get to, pack our hospital bag. And then at 4 a.m. I was packing my hospital bag with water gushing out everywhere, which was an experience. And I called my OB and he's like, all right, let's just check it out. We'll see how it is. And it was exactly what you thought, what you think of, your water's breaking. It was literally, I had to put a whole towel in between my undies and put on those period undies and squelching around the house, trying to pack my bag like a crazy person. Yeah, and then we get to the hospital and bright lights, and I've got PTSD from medical trauma, obviously not getting diagnosed for 4 weeks during the ectopic pregnancy has left me with a lot of issues that I've been working through. And, we walk into the hospital and there was bright lights and COVID screening, and I became very tense. So the contractions slowed down completely and stalled. And my OB sort of knew that was might have happened, and because my waters had broken because of COVID, I couldn't have gone home to, get into the swing of things in my calm environment. So I ended up getting the drip put in for what they use in inductions, and I just couldn't relax, and I couldn't, get out of, I wasn't in my head, but my body was obviously really tense. So after a few hours, I still wasn't progressing, and I think I was at like 2 centimetres, 3 centimetres dilated, and after like 5 hours on the drip, and finally got the epidural, and within an hour I went to, all right, it's nearly time to push. So that was a relief. I always thought in my head, oh no, I'm going to have, a very natural birth. But I always left sort of my birth wish list open to, if I need this, you get it.
Yep.
And God, the epidural was great. And then Hunter arrived. My partner pretty much delivered him, which was really beautiful. And I pulled him out onto my chest. They had the pediatrician in the room because he was 36 weeks on the dot, and they did warn us beforehand, going, some preemie babies need a little bit of help in the world, to get started. And I wasn't even really thinking about that. And when he came out, he was blue. Mm. I love birth videos, and I always, am fascinated how these babies come out, purple, and the mum sort of gives them a bit of a, massage on their chest and back, and, they start breathing and crying. And Hunter, that's what I thought was wrong with him. And I didn't know to the extent of the condition that he was in until my OB said to my partner, Anthony, it's time to cut the cord. And he knew that I wanted to do a delayed cord clamping and have, that golden hour of skin to skin. And, that was pretty quickly turned around. And obviously I wasn't going to say, no, let's delay the cord clamping, because I knew that I trusted my OB. And so Hunter needed to be going to the resus bay with Anthony and, get on oxygen. And they sort of were talking, right, we're going to just take him to, intensive care. We'll have to just give him, a bit of help. And I then just asked, can I get a little cuddle? They sort of brought him over with the mask, the oxygen mask, and I had to pump him full of, oxygen. But I got a cuddle, which was really, really nice and really important for me in that bonding.
Just sounds to me that everything that could have gone wrong went wrong practically. Having your own businesses, three, you sound to me like somebody that's sort of very organised and plans everything in advance. And biology's kind of jumped up behind you and pushed you over the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
How's that part of it been?
Well, I have a beautiful, healthy baby that is such a beautiful kid. He's so relaxed. He's so chilled. And I truly believe that after everything that I've been through, I've been given a beautiful baby. And that's the most important thing. And we survived. We coped. We got through it. The businesses are still standing. We launched the third business. It's all, everything that's had to happen has happened for a reason. And it took me a long time to sort of come to terms with, why was I going through so many pregnancy losses and why was I so sick during my pregnancy? And it's allowed me to get a deeper level of empathy and understanding for pregnancy loss. One of my best friends that I now know, her daughter died after she was born. Mm. And I've connected with her and she's such an invaluable friend to me now. And, you know, I've been set on this course and this journey for a reason, and it may not make sense when I'm in the thick of it, but now looking back at it, and I know it's a lot easier saying this now, but yeah, I just believe that this is what I'm meant to be doing. I think I've always had a somewhat positive outlook on a situation. I'm a serial optimist in business and in my personal life, and don't get me wrong, there are days that I couldn't get out of bed. I live and breathe with depression and mental health issues, but it doesn't. I think I have the ability to really write things down in front of me and work towards an end goal.
And just in case people think that now life has turned the corner, we were supposed to speak a couple of weeks ago and you got mastitis.
So oh, my gosh.
You forgot that, didn't you?
Look, breastfeeding's been a really intense journey.
Yeah.
I've had nipple thrush. I got a staph infection. I nearly got mastitis, so they put me on antibiotics for that. He had a tongue tie, you know, all of that fun stuff.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I really shouldn't laugh.
No, you've got to laugh, otherwise I'll cry.
Well, you sort of do, yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't even know that nipple thrush was a thing.
No, who does?
Yeah, and it's just none of that stuff has really, you know, made me – it's not made me upset, but it's made me – you know, go, holy hell, like, you know, you don't think about this stuff when you're going through it.
This was not in the brochure.
It was not. You know, they talk about a bit of a latch issue, so go see, you know, a lactation consultant. But no one told me that I'd have a lactation consultant swabbing my nipple and taking a milk sample to go send it off to get tested.
No, there's not much dignity in that.
No. But yeah, look, you know, it's like everything. It's a journey. It's still quite painful for me to feed. So it's just, yeah, it's parenthood, I guess.
It is. And, yeah. And not that we wish anybody any of your travails. I'm so sorry that you've gone through them. It has been really hard, but it's lovely to hear that you are still sparky about the whole thing. But I'm wondering, you have to, because one of these things is sometimes enough to floor the average person. And if you had to offer some general advice, what would it be to somebody who's struggling with one or some of the things that you've been through?
For breastfeeding or for everything in general?
Well, I'm going to go for everything because you are, in my book, qualified to give that advice.
Breastfeeding, go see a lactation consultant in person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was my biggest thing that sort of turned around a corner. You know, obviously it's really hard to do that stuff when we were in lockdown, and I had a lactation consultant give me some advice once we came home. So Hunter was in special care for 4 days and then he came home with us, which I'm so thankful that he could walk out that door with us. But I mean, he was tube fed. So he came home with an incorrect latch on formula, trying to pump every hour. I completely had a full on, I snapped the first night that he came home because I just was so sleep deprived. And then so we had a consult with a lactation consultant via Zoom and she taught us the proper latch. But it wasn't until I sat down in front of this amazing lactation lady and she's like, okay, there could be a number of things. And she, you know, placed him on my breast and really helped guide me into, you know, correct positioning, which I didn't get in the hospital because he was in special care. So yeah, go see someone in person. Take probiotics. I was pumped full of antibiotics and so was Hunter because my waters broke and my strep B results hadn't come back at that time. So they just put me on antibiotics. And, I think that's how I got the thrush to start with because I hadn't been on antibiotics for years.
Probably a bit of stress might have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, just that. Yeah.
Just the whole time, the whole day of me going through labor, I was just laughing because I was like, we're just, my partner and I were just like, of course he's early. Of course he is. I don't know. I guess trust your gut is my biggest thing because if I hadn't spoken out when I had the ectopic pregnancy, it could have been a different ending. If I had taken, you know, miscarriages are normal, I may have, you know, spent years trying to figure out what was going on. And don't be afraid to ask for help and don't be afraid to get a second opinion or a third or a fourth if you're not getting the right answers. I never thought I would have to go through IVF to conceive my child. I never in a million years thought that. And I think I was in denial for a long time thinking, okay, I might need some help. And then something just woke up in me and IVF is not something to be fearful of. I mean, I was a needle phobe. I hated needles, but I ended up using, I had to inject myself every single day of his pregnancy with my blood thinners. And if I can get over that and be fine with needles, you'd be amazed what you can do if you just put yourself in that right headspace and just get on. And it just wasn't something that I even thought twice about because it was leading me to my healthy baby.
Kiara Rumble, with her dramatic story of having a baby and perhaps a lesson to us all in persistence. It's good to acknowledge that sometimes it takes a lot of energy to become a mother. Now, last week on Baby Talk, we talked about starting kindergarten. Yep, and that proves exactly what they say. Becoming a parent will speed up time like no one's business, and it might be hard to believe right now, but you will end up with a kindergarten child probably before you realise it's happening.
Be open to allowing your little person to develop those self-help skills with your support that you can step back and not have to do everything for them. Educators and teachers are all about children developing independence and resilience and capacity to do it themselves. And you can, as a parent, as a carer, can be the first step in that process.
Lovely advice on the Baby Talk podcast, which you can find on the ABC Listen app and most of the places you find your podcasts. I'm Penny Johnston, and I'll see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.